In today's Holy Gospel from John, Jesus prays a special prayer, which is as much for all of us as it was for the apostles on the night that he was arrested. As a matter of fact, this entire 17th chapter of the Gospel of John coincides with our previous Gospel readings of the past few weeks. Jesus is with the apostles in the upper room, and he begins this prayer thanking the Father for revealing the truth through him of his word and helping him to complete the work that he's been given by the Father to do. In verse 11, Jesus says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they're still in the world, for I am coming to you, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you." It's kind of interesting. I've heard people ask me, "Do you think Jesus knew on that night that he was going to die the next day?" Well, I think there's proof. His words were saying, "I will no longer be in the world." And he was saying, in essence, "I'm only here a little while longer, and I'm going to prepare a place for you." He said that in John 14. Another request that Jesus prays is for us to be protected and for unity. Jesus prayed these words, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus asked for the Father to give a sense of oneness to us. Now, Jesus is not praying for uniformity, that we would all gather in different places on Sunday morning and do exactly the same thing, that we would walk in stride, all dress alike, and copy one another, but instead the church might believe in him and walk together in that very truth. Now, it may very well be that what happens in the Catholic Church may look an awful lot like what we do here in the Anglican Church or in the Episcopal Church, a little bit different in the Lutheran Church, and a little bit more different in the Methodist Church, and very much different in Pentecostal or even the Baptist Church. Does that make it any less Christian? No. If at the center of our belief is Jesus Christ, then indeed we are Christian and we are in unity. And again, not uniform. Jesus then prays in verse 12, "The one that follows our gospel lesson, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Now, you're saying to yourself, "I didn't hear that verse this morning." No, it's the one following our gospel. Our gospel was from verse 1 to 11. But Jesus points to the loss of Judas, who has already left the group, and the betrayal that is coming up. Again, he's very well aware of what's coming up in the hours that follow. Judas is doomed to destruction. Jesus wanted the remaining 11 apostles to be in one accord for the purpose of being united in the ministry that he has charged them, that he's given to them, and he's charged us with. Now, just because I wear a collar doesn't make me any different than you. You know, I gave Adeline a Bible today from all of you. It wasn't from Father John. It was a gift from the congregation. But that's a part of the ministry that we do together. And hopefully she'll take that Bible and she may do ministry on her own in terms of reading and being blessed. And you never know, she might gather with some classmates and might lay some scripture on them. You never know. It's a part of being united in what Jesus has given to us, bringing the truth of his gospel to the world so that everyone might believe in him. Today, as I mentioned earlier, is the Sunday after the Ascension. The first chapter of the book of Acts tells us that Jesus walked the earth for 40 days. 40 days, not from Passover, but 40 days since his resurrection. There are 7 days left until Pentecost. If you add that all up, it falls in line. 50 days, Penta, from the resurrection. 1 week before Pentecost, Jesus told his disciples these words, just before he ascended to the Father. And you've heard these words, you heard them last Sunday, you've heard them many times. He told the apostles and the disciples there, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Welcome, my friends, to the ends of the earth. That's where we live. And as far as witnesses, you know, you're not just a witness at a car accident or something else that takes place. And Drew knows very well what a witness is and how they can be sworn in a court of law to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's what a witness does. We are indeed, as I said, the ends of the earth. That's where we live. And where the gospel is to go out from and to. And that's one of the reasons why every person who is a part of ministry here at the church and graduates from high school is given a Bible, just as Adeline was given this morning. Her brother Collier got one not too long ago, and her stepbrother Hollis, he got one not too long ago, and now that's hers. You can't get rid of it. Your name is written on it in gold. And that's, again, from all of us to you. That's where the word comes from. Just before Jesus said those important words, he told them that they would receive the Holy Spirit in just a few days. 7 days until Pentecost. And they will fully receive the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on the apostles, everyone but Thomas, and he gave them the Holy Spirit, not fully, not like ordination full. And so on the day of Pentecost, they received the full blessing and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, as you come into church, you're going to see two banners on either side of the walkway in red that will say, "Come, Holy Spirit." And so that's why I'm asking you to wear something red to church. It doesn't have to be fully red, just something that has red in it. This way, we're acknowledging the Holy Spirit, giving thanks and giving honor and glory, but also coming in to worship Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to encourage others to be able to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And as a thank you, again, we're going to have some treats on the porch. Lemonade and cookies. Let's gather on the porch. Chapter 17 is really, really important. And midway through, on verse 15, I want you to hear these words that Jesus spoke. "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Throughout all of Jesus' ministry, he took the enemy head on to protect those he loves. For example, with the woman at the well, the demoniac at the Gadarenes named Legion, the demon-possessed man in Capernaum, and others. Jesus doesn't want his believers to be bullied and pushed around by Satan. And now he asked the Father to give the same protection to them so that it would be possible to win the battle with sin and Satan and live victoriously in Christ. What is it that we pray in the Lord's Prayer? What is it we ask the Lord to do to protect us from evil? And if you go, if you were to look at the original Greek, it says, from the evil one. God knows what we're saying, and we know what we're saying. The protection that we're asking would come through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized, you have the Holy Spirit within you. If you've been confirmed, you've had laying on of hands from the bishop, and you've received the Holy Spirit in a little further anointing, and you've been anointed with oil. If you've been ordained, even more so. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit means you're set free to be with the Lord, to be in the same moment that Jesus took his last breath. And then the temple veil was torn in two, not from the bottom up as a person would tear it, but it was torn from the top down as God would tear the temple veil. He's the only one that could tear it from the top to the bottom. Jesus then requested of the Father that his joy would fill his followers. And he continues saying that the prayer he is praying is being heard by them so that they might be filled with his full measure of joy. Most of the prayers that Jesus prayed were not written down by the apostles and were most likely prayed in solitude of his alone time with the Father. Remember how we would go to the hillside to pray. This time, just like Jesus' prayer at Lazarus' tomb, he wants his words to resound and be carried into the hearts of all believers, despite the hatred that would be aimed at believers by the world. Jesus delighted in fulfilling the Father's will, and he wants us to have delight as well, gladness and joy in our relationship with the Father. Sadly, I believe that there's a serious misconception in the world today that Christians are supposed to be like doormats. What do I mean by that? Sullen and straight-laced and just walking around as if they fell asleep. But here Jesus is asking that those who believe in him would be filled with something that comes from the Lord, joy. Laughter is good for the soul. Smiling is not unforgivable. And let's not forget singing. Joy should always be expressed, especially in church. We're given God's joy so that it would radiate in Christians' faces. The light of Christ's love should shine as you reflect his love. The truth is, living for Jesus offers the highest pleasure in life. Later in verses 17 to 20 of the chapter 17, Jesus asked the Father to sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, listen up, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That means you and me and your families that believe. Jesus was set apart to bring glory to the Father, and so he asked the Father to set us apart as well so that we would do the same. To be set apart is to be made holy. Jesus wants his followers, his believers, to be set free from the darkness of sin so that the world would know that God is in control. Jesus wants the world to see his believers, Christians, are different. He loves each one who acknowledges him as Savior and Lord so much that he would go to the cross, each one of us, being given the freedom from sin and from death, replacing that dread and darkness with light and joy that can be shown to the rest of the world showing them that we have what they're searching for. Jesus wants all believers sanctified so that the world would know that we are loved beyond belief. And then Jesus also prays to the Father for our eternal place with him when he prays this in verse 24. Father, I desire that they may also, whom you have given me, may be where I am. To see my glory that you've given me because you've loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus always was and always will be. Doesn't that remind you the words of the gospel just 2 weeks ago? Jesus said earlier that very evening, as recorded in John 14:3, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Isn't that exciting? I know Deb and I were talking about that yesterday as we were talking about her mom. And she knows her mom, Doris, was a staunch believer. So it gives her great comfort. And it should give all of us great comfort when one of our loved ones goes and crosses that bridge, if you will, and is joined by Jesus, that we know where they are, that they've gone to be with Jesus. Each one of us, and I'm looking at you, each one of us, I know loved ones who have gone to be with Jesus. And that's a great comfort for all of us to know that. You know, both of my parents, as I mentioned, my father would have been 115 tomorrow. Well, 1976, far too early for me, he went to be with the Lord. We all have examples that we know that the Lord called our loved ones home. And it gives us great comfort to know that through their belief, we have this word that keeps coming back. It keeps coming back because it's faith. And that faith gives us the strength to go on. Absolutely amazing. Jesus spent some of the final moments of his life on earth praying for and interceding on behalf of all believers, expressing his hopes for all humanity, and not just for those present in the room. These requests should give us hope and a future. Reminds me of the words that God himself spoke through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, where he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." How humbling it is that we can see Jesus' love for us and know the hope that comes from this prayer that Jesus prayed on our behalf. To sum it all up, just before Jesus was taken into captivity, God the Son prayed for our protection and unity, that his joy would fill each one of us, each and every day, for us to be set apart for sacred use, sanctified, that we would come to the place that he has prepared for us, that we might be where he is. What a tremendous example our great high priest has set for us believers to follow and pray these things for each other. In the precious name of Jesus, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.